It's Tuesday, the day we read from your emails, and we'll start with yesterday's program on the last lynching, Ted Koppel's documentary on the Discovery Channel that tells the story of Michael Donald, the African-American teenager brutally murdered in Mobile, Alabama in 1981. Anita DeLuccio emailed us from San Francisco to remind us that America's history of racial violence isn't just black and white. I am Mexican-American, and my father lived in Texas in the 50s and 60s. I grew up hearing about a lynching that he witnessed while living there. A young white woman had fallen in love with a Mexican man who was an acquaintance of my father. This young man was not interested in her advances, and so she accused him of raping her. Her male friends and relatives attacked the young Mexican man, cut off his genitals, and hanged him publicly for all to see. My father told me that the victim's mother was profoundly traumatized and was never the same again. I grew up knowing that the impact of racist violence extended past blacks to include my community. Race was also the focus of our show last Wednesday in Columbus, Ohio, when we looked at how race is playing out in this year's election for president. Christiane Pendarvis emailed to tell us, I'm a 38-year-old African-American female. I am profoundly excited and disappointed simultaneously with the dialogue generated by this historic election. Excited because we're finally having a real discussion about unconscious racial bias, but disappointed and disheartened because solving this issue seems so daunting. Many of the emails we got echoed that feeling, but we also got this one from D. Townsend. I am a white female married with two children, one college age. We don't get breaks. Obama said it well when he pointed out that only in America could he be standing there with such humble beginnings, nominated to run for president. Now, why can't I get the same benefits for my girls? I can't because I'm not black, she wrote. As a white American, it's not fair. Just because he is black, I will not vote for him. Finally, from politics to religion. Many of you called and wrote in during our conversation with Binyamin Cohen. He's the son of an Orthodox rabbi who spent a year visiting churches and exploring Christian religions for his book, My Jesus Year. I can identify with Cohen completely, wrote Charlotte Burnett, a listener in Naples, Florida. I was raised in an Assembly of God parsonage. Everything was a sin. Dancing, makeup, movies, you name it. As the preacher's kid, everyone expected me to be the example for all of the other kids. I was given piano, organ lessons, so I could play in church. I taught a Sunday school class. I felt I had no choices about religion and left the church when I was in college. Unlike Benjamin, I never went back to that denomination. If you have comments, questions, or corrections for us, the best way to reach us is by email. Our address is talk@npr.org. Please let us know where you're writing from and give us some help on how to pronounce your name.